I said at the beginning that we spent the last 2 days in heaven. We reflected on the saints in glory. We reflected on the saints being purified. And now we come back, in a sense, back down to earth. But as I said, not really, because wherever Jesus is heaven on earth. And here we see in today's gospel, Jesus again working a miraculous cure on the Sabbath day. There's nothing more earthly than sickness. That's what often makes us feel like we're bound to the earth, or even caught in our own body when we're sick. We really feel the burden of it. In this case, it's a man suffering from dropsy. We never use the word dropsy except this once a year when it comes up in the gospel. That's not the modern term. But he's experiencing this swelling, probably in his feet and ankles especially. Can imagine he probably couldn't wear his sandals. He's having difficulty walking. You probably notice how similar this miraculous cure is to the one we read about on Monday, the woman who was stooped over for 18 years, and she was in the synagogue and was on the Sabbath again. Jesus cured that woman and used that example to challenge the Pharisees about whether it was legal to cure on the Sabbath or not. Well, they didn't like it that time, and they don't like it this time either. But you see, the very similar situation. One of the differences is that on Monday, the miracle took place in the synagogue. Here, it's in the home of one of the leading Pharisees, so it's in a more private setting. I think we can reflect on this not only as an instruction on the Sabbath, but on the importance of what we heard on Sunday, love of God and love of neighbor, the two greatest commandments. And the reason I mention that is because the Pharisees have this tendency to pit love of God against love of neighbor. Their defense of the law of the Sabbath, which is part of their devotion to God, ends up becoming an obstacle to their love of neighbor. For example, sick people. They don't think that they should be cured on the Sabbath because that's breaking the law. And Jesus very deliberately tries to shake them out of that idea that love of God somehow prevents us from loving our neighbor. It can't be that way. But as I reflected on this, I thought a lot about the experience of the man himself. We don't know anything about him. We don't know his name, his condition, why he was even there. Was he a friend of the Pharisees? Was he a neighbor, a relative? There he was. He has this physical condition. Jesus asks the question, is it lawful to cure on the Sabbath or not? The Pharisees don't give any answer at all, yes or no. They remain uncommitted. And so Jesus, it says, took the man, and after he had healed him, dismissed him. So he cured the man, dismissed him, so as if to get him off stage. And then he can address the people who have the real problem. I mean, this man's dropsy is cured and no more problem. But the Pharisees still have this legalism that is limiting their love of neighbor. And also interfering with their love of God. Now, what came to my mind was a distinction that St. John Paul II used to make a lot when talking about love. He acknowledged that on a certain level, the opposite of love is hatred. And that's what we often say, love, hatred. But he said, on another level, the opposite of love is use. The proper way to relate to a person is to love a person, and the improper way to relate to a person is to use him or her, treat him or her as an object for some other end. What he called the personalistic norm. So that came to my mind because in this case, it looks like Jesus is using the man with dropsy as an example to teach a lesson to the Pharisees. But it also looks like the Pharisees are using this man as a way to catch Jesus. But they're not the same. You see, Jesus does something good for the man. Jesus loves the man. And in his love, in benefiting the man, he can use him as an example, because he's not violating the dignity of the man in order to make his point. So it's clearly an act of love to cure the man, Sabbath or not. The Pharisees, however, don't display love for the man. It's only use. They use him as an example. Now, it says here he was right in front. So probably the Pharisees, who were trying to catch Jesus in action, put the man there. Sit here, where you're going to be noticed, and Jesus is likely to do something illegal. As if they didn't care about his physical condition, about his dignity as a person. They only cared about what they could get out of him. And that's the wrong way to treat a person. In today's first reading, Paul speaks with deep feeling about his love for his fellow Jews, how concerned he is for their salvation. And it's this same thing. He's not using the Jews to make a point. He loves them. He wants them to experience the fullness of life that he's received in Christ. And he honors all that God has done in raising them up. And he goes through the whole list of what the Jews received from God: the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the law, the worship, the promises, the patriarchs, and the Christ. Jesus Christ was a Jew. He came from the Jewish people. I'm stressing this because, you know, in the last couple of weeks, there's been quite a rise of anti-Semitism in the news and in many cultures. It's not a big deal in the Philippines. There's no Jews around here. But in other countries, there's this rising hatred of Jews. And the reason is because the Jews now, or at least the Israelis, are bombing the Palestinians in Gaza. And so emotions are high, and there's a lot of dispute about what's the right way to deal with this conflict. So I'm not here to sort all those complicated things out. But I do want to point out that the right way to respond to anyone or to treat anyone is always love, and the wrong way is always use. So prejudice is always wrong, because that reduces the dignity of people. In the case of the conflict in Gaza, one of the violations of human dignity which anyone should be able to identify is the taking of the hostages. The Hamas terrorists captured some 200 people, and they're keeping them in custody. Now, that is the wrong way to treat people. Whether you're concerned about Palestinians or Israelis or however you think that conflict can be resolved, kidnapping people and holding them hostage is not the right way. Now, the reason why this becomes a hot issue is because the Israelis are bombing them now, and they're being criticized because so many innocent people are being killed. And that is a real criticism. You can't just kill innocent people. And the Israelis are saying, well, we have to do that because our enemies are using these civilians as human shields. They're using the people. Again, this question of love or use. They're saying they're using the people, not us. And the Hamas and the Palestinians are saying, no, if we don't have hostages, we don't have any defense against these people. So they're using the hostages, and we have a right to do that for our own self-protection. No. So both sides are wrong insofar as they're using people to gain their political or military ends. Both sides are wrong. Again, I'm not trying to solve that complex situation, but we can at least get this principle from the gospel and from the first reading. The right way to deal with someone is love. And the wrong way is to use a person to gain some other end. A person is good in himself. A person is good as he or she is. You don't have to use him or her in order to find the value. St. Paul says something a little bit shocking here. He says, I could even wish I were cut off from Christ for the sake of my people. Now, that is certainly not what he means. I mean, he can't say, I wish I was cut off from Christ. That's suicidal. That's spiritual suicide. But his point, if we take it properly, is I'm willing to sacrifice myself for my people. My love is great enough that I'm willing to sacrifice myself for them, lay down my life for them. And that is right. That is love. It's a reflection of God's own love. God who is willing to sacrifice himself, to pour himself out for the good of the people whom he loves, meaning all of us. Now this takes us back to the first, at the greatest commandment, love of God with your whole heart, soul, mind, and strength. And the second commandment, which is like it and always goes with it, love your neighbor as yourself. So to love God is also to grow in likeness to God. And God is love. God pours himself out from the good of others. And that's how we are to love our neighbor. It's that commandment itself which forbids use of anyone. It's what guides us to the heroic way of life, which is to lay down our lives for others. Okay, last point we can take from the beautiful saint we honor today, Saint Martin de Porres. He was a humble man. He was humbled by his circumstances, first of all. But he didn't allow the mistreatment he received to stop him from loving others. He overcame the injustice, and even the use that he faced, in order to benefit others. And that's why he's a great saint. He placed himself at the service of others. First of all, service of God. He had extraordinary love for God, extraordinary love for the Blessed Sacrament. Spent hours in adoration of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. But he also spent hours serving the poor, serving the neglected of society. He had a special compassion for them. He knew what it was like to be rejected. So St. Martin de Porres is a great example of love of God and love of neighbor, and a great reminder to us that anything that goes against those commandments, any temptation to judge, to be prejudiced, to use, to manipulate, that has to all be rejected if we're going to be faithful to the commandments of God. So we ask the intercession of St. Martin as we recommit ourselves to love. To love so that the love of God can be made present in the world through us.